Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast, those things we didn't get to during the course of the show today. A couple things. Gavin is back. The stress throat.
That sounds like such a millennial thing to have.
You have stress throat.
I have stress throat. I'm sorry.
What would you say you are? Like, if 10 is your best day, where are you?
Oh, man. Probably around like a 5-ish.
Okay. We already got into Betty's head, though. She's like, I think my throat's scratchy. Like,
yeah,
no.
Honestly.
I know. It does that to your brain.
I know.
It's amazing,
like,
what your brain will do.
My head, like right here, it feels funny. And the back of my throat feels funny. And I'm not saying that it couldn't all be in my head.
Oh, sure.
I'm not saying that.
No.
It's, you know, and you had, we both.
Wally's hoping it's all in my head.
Yeah. We both share like the dry eyes today, though.
Yeah. I don't know what that is.
Maybe it's just winter. I know that stuff was going around. You were sick like 2 weeks ago. So let's not do that again
for you.
Yeah, let's not. That was not fun for me. Neither one of you getting sick is fun for me.
No.
So I would rather not. But Gavin's back.
You should just get sick here and there, too. Come on.
Can't.
Join the team.
No, he does. He just likes to give it away as well.
Yeah, a share.
No.
It's part of sharing.
And I think, too, like, there's a part of it that's tied to an insecurity where it's like, if you miss a day, you could get replaced.
No,
like, that's the old school mentality.
It used to be that way. It's not that anymore. Now it's having the best record of not getting sick or not missing the fewest days.
Where's the chart for that?
In my head.
Oh, it is?
Yeah,
there's Because I haven't seen it.
No, it's not a real
thing.
Where's
the award?
There isn't one.
Oh, there isn't one.
Just in heaven.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Just in heaven?
You think even in heaven, God's going to be like, this guy right here.
Yeah, he will be.
He had the sniffles and he went in.
And he went in. Yep.
He'll be like, he had the sniffles. And then he was going to put in slow motion and he's going to colorize your germs as you cough and spew it all over your hands and you don't wash your hands. That's what he's going to replay. And he's going to say, you, son, have done wrong.
Yeah, no.
And I'm taking the crown
back. Well done, my good and faithful servant, for going in and serving me when you didn't feel good, but you were still there.
Here's your nose-shaped crown.
Preaching the gospel.
They give you sick days for a reason.
They give you sick days to separate who is weak and who is not.
Well, then point me in the weak category. I do not care. If you're considered the strong, then I don't want any part of it.
I am. Well, it's a little bit different for our situations, though, because if I'm sick, then the show goes off. If one of you is sick, we kind of compensate for that. Yeah. And so,
well, if you are down, like, we could do the news is in the
rock report. But it does change the show, and then
I've got emergency stuff
in.
Yeah,
yeah. So it is doable.
Yeah, so I try not to be. I try.
Oh, you do it for us?
I do, because I care.
Gee, thanks.
You're welcome. You're welcome. It's what I do.
I
thank you very much for recognizing that. But all of that to say, Gavin is back. This was a weird story. Amazon and Walmart are delivering goods by drone now. They're playing with that. And it, of course, has inspired the criminal element, too, to do their own version of this. There were 11 suspects arrested in an investigation of using drones to drop illegal drugs into prisons.
It makes
total sense. You fly it over the yard where they have recreation time.
That's amazing.
You drop it at a specific time. Someone runs over there and picks it up and hides it. And you try to do it without the guards looking, hey, look over there. And then you drop it over here. Like,
is that a deer?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's like... These people, you instead, like, this is what your plan was. What if you created a company that you still did this locally and you flew drones that took medications to shut-ins? Like, people would pay for that, honestly. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you could actually do some good, but then this is their commitment or their thing for society is that they're still doing this. The irony of all this, though, is all the people on the outside that were flying the drones in are now going to be on the inside of prison, which I think is really funny. And no one's flying you a drone, pal. Mm. You're on your own.
So dumb.
So that was just a weird, like, tech story. And
you,
then
they said, like, you know, Amazon and Walmart are doing this. I've still never seen that happen.
Mm-mm.
And I almost don't believe that it happens unless I see it happen.
I think they did it like a few times and then, you know, they had like a couple successful deliveries and they're like, okay, good. Because I think in Dallas they were playing with it and there's only a couple places. I think they were doing it with Walmart in Bentonville, Arkansas. That's where their home headquarters is. And I think they were playing with it there. I'm actually going to Bentonville in 2 months. It's a great mountain biking place. They invested a lot of money in it because, like, Sam Walton's kids were into it, and so they put a lot of money into it.
There's a good HGTV couple that does houses in Bentonville.
Oh, really?
Fixer to Fabulous.
That's them?
With,
they're in Bentonville?
Jenny and Dave Mars.
Oh, I never knew they were in Bentonville. Oh, my voice went way up.
Kind of jealous.
Yeah. There was one person that was on HGTV doing homes in Nashville, too, which I was was interested. I think it's cool when you see a TV show that's about your city, and you're like, oh, you're looking for things. I do that all the time with movies. Like, I'll see places from when I lived near L.A., and I'll see places in movies. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I was there. I saw that. Or you recognize. I think it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
One of the fun things for me on vacations, though, is to go to visit places I've seen on TV or movies too. Like when we go to New York, the first time we went to New York, we're like, this is great. And one of the first places we went to was Mood because we watched Project Runway.
Oh.
And Mood is the fabric store. And the dog Swatch is still walking around there. And so we're petting Swatch. And
no idea what you're talking about.
Of course. So when I walked out, I go, thank you, Mood. Because that's what they all say. And I said it sassy, too. Really good.
Store. Is that something to brag about?
Yeah. And then went to Trump Tower because we were watching The Apprentice at the time. And that
and
was
like,
a big show.
News.
Yeah.
China.
This is before all that. This is just before he was a president and when he was just Donald Trump.
Just Donald Trump.
Yeah. You're fired.
Yeah, just making money in real estate.
Arnold Schwarzenegger?
No, he did the
just sounded
Apprentice.
Like
Apprentice, yeah. And he would always say, you're fired.
Yeah, it does sound like Arnold, very much so. No. Yes.
If Arnold was saying it, it would be like, you're fired.
That was
but
the
if
same.
It was Trump, it would be like, you're fired.
That's the same. Like, the I same literally hear the same thing.
You're fired.
Yeah.
You're fired.
Yeah.
That's different.
I wish I could do a Trump impersonation.
I
am starting to see all the TikToks and stuff coming up and Instagram posts. Like, there was one today, like, the difference between a Trump rally and a Biden rally and Trump's, and obviously people are editing things to tell the story they want, but it's the place is packed and people going nuts and chanting America and stuff. And then they go to Biden and it's like this empty VFW hall, people all quiet and he's stammering. So obviously, I mean, they're making it what they want it to be, but I mean, it is just another example of what this year is going to look like. And they've already started, taking shots at Trump again in the news to undo him already, because he was talking about there was a opposition leader to Vladimir Putin in Russia who was killed, and his wife is vowing, you know, not to give up and things like that. He was challenging him for the leadership, mm-hmm. and so he's killed, and then so Trump made a reference to him, and then made a reference to, you know, this is what happens in countries that try to thwart free speech and try to, you know, do these things, and I'm oppressed like this, they're coming after me. It's not the same, but it's the same kind of thing. And then the news just runs like, he's comparing himself to a man that was martyred for his, you know, and so again, it's the spin doctoring that is going to go on is crazy. But the good news is, I mean, we're already in almost out of February, so March, April, May, June, July, August, September. Okay, we got 8 months.
We got a long time.
It's going to be a long haul. It seems like a lot closer than it is.
It also felt like a year or two ago. It didn't feel like we were, like, it felt like there was hope that this wasn't going to be just a repeat of Trump versus Biden.
But it will be.
And now it's just, there's no other way that this is going down.
Nikki Haley hasn't given up yet. She has a South Carolina primary coming up. If she can't win South Carolina, I mean, that's her old home state. It's like, at that point, you're just throwing away money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I kept wondering if she was staying in and being cautious about how she talked about him. Wondering,
maybe setting herself up as
VP, because that would be actually very smart. But then she would get relegated. Anybody in his VP position is going to get relegated.
His VP?
I know, that's what's so funny. You can't even remember. Pence was, exactly.
See, but
he's such
so
a force
forgetful.
That you totally forget everything else around
but
him.
Oddly enough, I'll always remember Kamala Harris.
Yeah,
I don't know why,
but for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
That's why you remember her, is because in the things we know, we.
No.
And we don't know the things that we do know, but we know the things that we know for the people. Ugh.
It's like
all right.
AI VP.
Boy, this is something we really shouldn't have to do, but we are. Apparently, after that shooting in Kansas City, the Republican House there passed a bill banning celebratory gunfire.
Oh, shit.
It's so funny. Like, we win some sporting event, your city does, and then people are like, let's go celebrate. What do you want to do? I don't know. Pop off a few rounds in the air? That sounds like a good idea, Zeke. Let's do it. Bang, 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 bang. Like, why in the world does that cross anybody's mind? Like, fine, do some fireworks. Knock yourself out. But don't shoot a stupid gun in the air, you knuckleheads, to the point where we have to ban this. Like, This is why we have laws. We have laws because people will not govern themselves. You know, that I mean, that's literally what laws come down to, is like, if everyone could actually be a human and be a good person and govern themselves, we would not have nearly as many laws. But they can't do it. They're incapable of doing that. So you have to have laws and consequences, just like this nonsense. Mm. So there you go. What do you got, Rock?
Shooting.
That one wasn't a bad one, though. No one died on that one. Like, that was just a silly law.
I've got something that will warm your heart. I am a big fan of Charlie Brown and the Peanuts gang.
And I do not like Charlie Brown or so any boring. Of his peanuts.
It is not boring. It is sweet. It gets right to your soul. It's about friendship, and especially this one. So Apple Plus, they're having a new special, and it's all about their one of the cast members called Franklin. If you don't know who Franklin is, he was the first Black Peanuts character. And he actually was introduced in 1968.
Oh, really? He was that old? I'm surprised, actually.
Yeah, so I didn't know this, but Charles Schulz, so he is the author of all of the creator of Charles Charlie Brown, but so he got a letter from a teacher that after Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated, she sent this letter to Charles Schulz because there in the newspaper you would see the little Snoopy comics,
yeah,
and so she asked Charles Schulz if he could make a African American Peanuts member so that her students that were African-American could identify with somebody.
Oh, that's interesting. Cool.
He took that suggestion and he created Franklin. And so now we have a movie coming out. It's already ready for release. You can watch it on Apple Plus.
Oh, this isn't like, oh, this is going to be out in 2 years.
No, it's
like
already
ready
out.
To go. What?
And it's called Snoopy Presents Welcome Home, Franklin.
Hi, I'm Franklin. I've lived in a lot of different places. My family is always on the move.
And then he goes and he finds the Peanuts gang and he makes friends with them. And it's just so sweet. And I don't have Disney Apple Plus,
yeah,
but I might get it just to
for
see this.
Mm-hmm. I will tell you this. I saw the trailer and I thought it was still for something that's going to come up in 2 years. I do not like the Peanuts whatsoever. Like, I've never been a fan of Charlie Brown. Mm-hmm. This looks like the best Peanuts movie that's ever been done for them. Like, it doesn't look as completely cheesy as all the other stuff.
I mean, it does look good, but all the Christmas special, the Thanksgiving special, the Valentine's special,
oh,
and then your good boy Charlie Brown, yeah, that's a good one.
No, I don't like any of them.
Well, you just don't know goodness when you see it. So anyways, if you want to see it, Apple Plus is where you can.
But this one
it.
Actually did look good. Like, I like the plot line and Franklin getting a little
sweet.
Bit of love. It looks good.
It looks super sweet.
It is interesting, though, that this came from a lady that was like, hey, in 68, like, hey, like, why do we not have a Black character here? Remember Mr. Rogers. Did you ever see the movie about Mr. Rogers? Mm-hmm. What a great movie. There was a documentary, and then there was the one, I think, Fred Rogers was played by Tom Hanks. But it was fascinating what Fred Rogers did for racial relations too, and mm-hmm. he having a Black character on his show early on.
Yeah, he was
on.
The mailman.
Yeah, and then the mailman was, wait, Mr. McFeely. I thought
no, there was a it was because then they he was Mr. Rogers was filling up a blow
the
up pool.
Pool. Yeah, and they had their feet in the pool, which was subtle and was like. Yeah, what was the speedy delivery guy? That was a different guy. Maybe they had two mailmen. I don't know. But because there was segregation problems and Blacks only.
Oh, I think he might be a cop.
Yes, that's what he was. Because Mr. McFeely was
Officer
the
Clemens.
Mailman, which again is the worst
the pool.
Name ever for a children's character. But. I mean, come on.
You're like,
things
wrong.
Have changed.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
Thank God. Yeah, I'm sad things have changed. But yeah, the fact that they were doing the pool and both of their feet in the pool was a huge symbol at that time, mm-hmm. you know, for, and it's crazy to think that too. Like, my wife and I were watching a throwback show that was playing old stuff from the American Music Awards from the 90s. And they're like, best Black song of the year, American. And you're like, what? Like, that's not that long ago. And mm-hmm. you're like, it's so for today is so tone deaf, you know, and like it would, but that it's hard to think because I know when people, especially if you are African American, there are people that are like, there's systemic racism and there are things that people don't think about that were hurtful or racist, you know, or subtly. And as somebody that, you know, grew up white and like wasn't considering myself a racist, I when I see things like that, I go, oh yeah, I see how that's a problem for you, you know, and well, like where like the terminology that was used or the things like that, like I see it a little bit more now based on what we experience now and seeing it then, you're like, oh, that was jarring actually.
I was watching a show about prison and racism is a huge problem in prison.
Oh, sure.
Because I guess when you're a prisoner, you are supposed to hang out. At least in a male-populated prison,
right.
You're supposed to hang out with the race that's considered your race.
Right.
And so there was this one episode where they brought in clippers so that you could get your hair cut, and they were trying to figure out, fight for, which race was going to get to cut their hair first.
Really? Oh,
wow. And so you think about if you're raised in that, or you know, you're young, when you get locked up and you're considered, it was like the, I forget what they called them. But anyways, it was like there's the whites, there's the blacks,
sure.
Well, all different ones. But then all that to say, like each race, there was like four or five different ones. All of them were being racist towards each
someone
other.
Yeah.
It wasn't just one race, yes, that was being racist. It was all of them being racist. And so when you go back out into the public streets, it's not like that. And if you're going to bring that with you, it's not, sure, going to be good.
Oh yeah, you. Prison teaches people a lot of bad things. Like, we, mm-hmm, want to rehabilitate people in prison. That is not what is happening, mm-hmm, there at all. Was it like a documentary or was it like a scripted thing?
It was one called 60 Days In.
Oh,
it's a reality,
yes,
show on,
yes,
A&E, but it's, they put someone that's not...
It's terrifying.
Yeah, they put someone in behind bars that's not a prisoner, but,
yes,
they're trying to infiltrate and figure out who has, yeah, the drugs and
there's
all that
no
stuff.
Way I would ever do that.
But they
I
have
would
cameras
be afraid
hidden everywhere.
That they would forget me, oh, that I was there. Like, I went to visit somebody in prison one time and I had to go through, first of all, the metal detectors. Then they put me in one room by myself.
And your jewelry went off on its own.
Oh, and I had to take everything off.
And they were like, sir, you need to take off the jewelry.
Yeah.
We don't want you to get made fun of.
You'll be killed here. And so I go into this room and they left me in this room by myself. And I was there, and they forgot about me. They literally left me in a locked room that I could not get out of, and it's
come
all
on.
The honest, truthful.
You're so loud. How could anybody?
I am not. The prisons are loud. I'm knocking on the glass. After a
and
while,
you're like, I didn't do it. They're
I know.
Like, sure, that's what everybody says.
Yeah, I just gave up hope after a while. I'd counted all the bricks that were in the building,
making scratch marks.
I counted smudges on the stainless steel towel dispenser because I was that bored. I was there.
You're not built for
really,
that.
Like,
kind
no,
of life.
How many
None
hours?
Of us are.
Like 20 minutes.
20 minutes, probably 30 minutes.
Who do you think would be killed first if all three of us got locked up? Who would get killed first?
Gavin
I'll
first.
Volunteer.
Gavin
I
first.
Volunteer.
Yeah.
Who could play the game better?
I would get killed second because Betty would sell me out. She'd be like, he stole your stuff. Like, what just happened?
I totally
hey guys,
would.
Yeah.
This
would.
Nerd over here wants to fight you.
Yeah,
I think.
Exactly. Exactly.
What?
I remember dating a girl one time. Oh, my
How is this?
Gosh. I'm dating this girl. Okay, so then high school skirmish comes up.
Yeah,
and
it does.
And so you've got, you know, these other two guys and me and my buddy. And it's getting, like, tenser. And, you know, of course, everyone's talking about fighting and stuff. And I'm like, I don't want to do this. This is crazy. I'm like, I'm 5'4" on a good day in high school. And then this girl
on.
I was dating is like, oh, yeah? Well, my boyfriend can beat you up. I'm like,
no, she didn't.
Hey, you might want to consult me.
Was she dating
me.
Another guy?
Yeah, I'm like, hey, sidebar, let's pull this over here for a minute and just have a chit-chat about what you were thinking I can actually do to this person that even in high school shaves and has a full beard and
was
I'm having to look at.
Was she talking to another girl?
Must have been, because I'm like,
my boyfriend can beat you up, girl.
Yeah, I'm like, what in the world? And I'm like, this girl is going to get me killed. Like,
what'd you do?
I ran. I like when it got bad. I'm like, I'm out of here.
Oh,
I tried
gosh.
To. I always tried to make my like jokes be the thing, and then and like
Self-defense.
Get myself out of trouble that way,
yeah.
And it worked 99% of the
Humor.
Time. Yeah, oof, yeah. So
you know, fighting
yeah,
is scary.
I would not. No, prison scares so me. I've always had that fear of being locked up.
Scary.
and being the one guy that's like, I'm innocent. Like, yeah, sure you are. I'm like, I really am. I should be here. But then back to the story. So I'm in there, and finally I'm banging on the glass, and it's probably been about 30 minutes. And this,
oh, come on. Honest, truthful. I bet it was 3 minutes.
No, no, you can ask my wife. It was between 20 and 30 minutes.
She was there too?
No, they let her through. They let her, my mom, everybody through.
So everybody forgot about you.
Yes, they left me there.
Maybe that was intentional.
And so then scared straight program is what happened.
Right?
And so then the lady comes back by, and I'm knocking. And she's like, oh, what are you doing in there? I'm like, I don't know. She's like, I am so sorry. We forgot about you. Literally told me that they forgot about
gonna
me.
I'm going to ask your wife, was it really 30 minutes?
It was between 20 and 30.
He is so dramatic.
It was between 20 and 30, for sure. But make sure you ask her, because maybe time flew like slower for me. I don't know.
In the prison, I'd be sitting there like, I've been here forever.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought.
Ages, man.
I started getting myself a prison tattoo.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it was bad.
You're like, when you tell prisoners, I've been where you are, man.
Totally.
I know
what it's like.
Jailbird.
I know what it's like to be incarcerated for 30 minutes. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Brighter on the outside, boys.
Yeah. What do you got, Rock, for birthdays?
Nancy. Today is Nancy's birthday. Happy birthday,
Nancy.
Yay, Nancy! She did request, Gavin, please help me remember this. She said she wanted you to say thanks for being a potty.
Nancy! I was doing a Doppler effect.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what that was. Then we've got Charlie. Charlie wants to wish her mom a happy birthday. Said her nickname is Machine Gun Shelly.
Oh, nice.
Because
she's Machine Gun Kelly. Yeah.
She's 73 and has better biceps than most young adults.
Nice. Good on you, Ma.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
That's 73. Good job.
I wonder if she could beat you and Gavin up.
In prison.
Probably.
In prison.
Yeah.
Machine Gun.
I'd stick with Machine Gun Shelly.
That's funny.
Like, I live to serve.
You're like, hey, just protect me. I'll do anything you need.
You can have my extra mush at lunch.
Yeah. Depending on another woman to help you.
Here's my pudding cup. Just protect me from the bad men.
We got a question from Audrey. Audrey said, hey, Wally, I just got a job.
Yay.
And I know some of the employees are not Christian. How should I approach that?
First of all, why did you take that job if you're not going to work in a place where only...
Are you a Satan worshiper?
Yeah, you should only work where other Christians work. no, I mean, boy, that's a great question. What I love about her question is that she is already thinking about other people and her faith and how that...
Or is she?
Jives. I think it feels like it.
It's her mission field, which I think is something that not everyone looks at work as a mission field.
No, and she wants to live out her faith.
I've been there.
I have too.
I am there.
You're there now. Yeah.
Oh.
No. Working with non-believers.
Absolutely.
I'm looking at someone specifically.
I feel you. It's like looking in a mirror for me.
One of those three-way mirrors, apparently.
Yeah. I have worked in... like mainstream radio, where at the time I was a believer, but I really was bad at it. I kept it on the down low, and I wasn't, I didn't do the things I should have done. What I think I would do is encourage you, because I do believe that your life is a good example and how you live and being consistent in your faith. And sometimes it's very simple of not being part of something that's going on that isn't right. And then they, hey, why don't you want to do this? Oh, because like I'm a believer, you know, I'm a Christian, but you know, it's cool. Whatever you guys do, that's great. But it's just not what I do, you know, and not being judgy and not being preachy and not being the, ooh, it's the Christian person. And if you do it right, you'll see that people will respect you and they'll curtail their behavior a lot of times around you, and they'll be like, oh, sorry. Like, they'll drop a swear in front of you. Oh, I'm sorry, you know.
It's easier for you, though, Audrey, to curtail your manners around them.
Right.
So be careful about that, because I think it's easier to be dragged down by them than it is for you to uplift them.
There is that, yeah.
That takes a strong
person.
Like, I have some friends of mine that they've made a group of they've made friends with a group of people that they've met at a gym, and those people aren't saved. And they definitely use a lot of language.
Oh, yeah.
And so.
And these are ladies, by the way.
Right. But I have seen
it's
easier to just go towards that than it is to stay where you're at and be a witness.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to come across as awkward or weird or make people feel bad.
I think the key in most relationships is just being genuine and who you are. Like, if you genuinely care about people and you want your faith to come through so that they see that, you being consistent in that is really important. And it's not preachy. It's not getting a conversion on a notch that you're keeping score. And if you genuinely care about people, that will come through and they will start to respect you. But as part of that, you have to be you, you know, and don't sway. You know, there's a ton of stories in the Bible. You know, you got Joseph, you got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and things like that. And things didn't go well for them, but they never swayed. Mm-hmm. They stayed the course. And so I think my encouragement to her would be stay the course, be kind, but stay the course and don't bend, you know, but be kind in that. You know, I think that's important, and show genuine concern for people. If you do that, I think that's a great way to share your faith.
Yeah, I would say don't be very careful not to just write someone off. Like, there are people that you don't want them to, you know, like, they can be a sponge and you don't want to be around those kind of people because you can easily fall into it. But I would say, like, be kind to people and don't come across judgy.
Yeah,
easier said than done.
Well, because that's the biggest thing. That's one of the number one problems that people have with believers. And they'll assign the judgy to you regardless. Oh, you're a Christian. Oh, and sometimes it's automatically, well, you're judging my lifestyle. Oh, mm-hmm. I better not say this around you, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that there's already that thing. And so when you're handling different situations, if it comes off remotely judgy, they go, oh, you're doing the, I knew you'd be like that, you know. And so it's tricky. It's very tricky to not manipulate that, but to work inside of that.
Mm-hmm. So they're automatically going to have their guard up with you.
Yeah.
But I think an easy way to get someone's guard down
donuts.
Donuts. And two, just asking questions, like just getting to know them. If you genuinely want to get to know someone, I think that'll help someone let their guard down with you.
We have our Day of Hope coming up like next Monday, I think, or the Tuesday. And it is about sharing
something
your faith.
Something we should know.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those who does. But I talked to an apologist, and his advice, and so spoiler alert, we'll cover it here. But his advice on sharing your faith is ask questions, just what you just said, Rock. Mm. Because questions are disarming, plus it also lets you know what someone actually believes, and it also lets them know that you value what they believe. You're not just telling them what you believe.
Yeah.
And you're not just telling them this is what you need to do and it's a laundry list. But when someone says, you know, God is judgmental and, you know, he causes bad things happen to people. All right, why do you think that? Well, because my aunt's sister was a believer and she got cancer. Oh, that's horrible. Like, I can't believe that. Like, what was that like for her? Well, you know, she said that, you know, she prayed and she was never healed. Well, what did your family think about that? Well, we all thought that, you know, God should have shown up. Man, that is rough. Why do you think that God didn't show up? Did you not see him? Well, she died. Okay, well, people do die. And there's some things that God doesn't stop for sure. But inside of this, what happened? You know, was there good? You know, and so, like, oh, that's a whole different conversation than debating the effectiveness of God and when he chooses and chooses not to work, because that's really hard to know.
Also, too, if they ask you questions that are religious questions or questions about your faith, and if you don't know the answer, be honest with them. Be like, actually, I want to get the right answer for you. Let me do some research on that.
It's almost like you were in this interview that I did with this guy.
Really?
And you weren't there that day, were you?
No.
And so, yeah, like that's the other thing. He's like, it's totally good. Wow, I should just interviewed you.
Yeah, maybe I should be a preacher.
I know.
Apologist over here.
Yeah.
But yeah, his point was like when you ask questions and people give you things, and they'll ask you things that you don't know. Dinosaurs. Oh, Lord. You know? Like,
unicorns.
I don't know.
Bigfoot.
That one's tough.
And there are a couple really tough questions, but it's okay to say, look, I don't know the answer to that. And there are things that I need to grow in my faith. And I appreciate you bringing that up because if you're willing to hear the answer, I'm going to go talk to some people so that I get the answer for my own sake too. Mm-hmm. But I'd love to share with you what I find and we can like circle back up next week. And so then you've made an appointment. You're still talking. You're keeping that dialogue going. You're answering their question. You're learning something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay. You're connecting with people on a level that is something they probably don't expect, because they expect to be preached at. They don't expect to be listened to. And that's why the questions are so valuable. So maybe that helps you too, as you're, you know, how should I do this? Ask them questions. Ask them what they believe and why they believe it, and be genuinely asking that so that you can know, oh, well, I have an experience like that. This was my experience, and maybe that helps you with what you're processing too. So, all right. Well, I think that is going to have to do. I guess Gavin's taking us out today of the birthday.
Yeah, Nancy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I heard Gavin.
You were saying, like, take us out, and I was like, to lunch? Like, are we?
Yeah, no, not to lunch.
That's what I thought.
I am hungry, though.
One job.
I am too. Okay.
One job.
No, I'm not done the job yet. So I'll
end it with,
and as always, thanks for.
So we got our friend Andy Irwin on the show with us, and he's the guy behind the movie I Can Only Imagine, and now he has a new movie out called Ordinary Angels starring Hilary Swank, and she is great, by the way. And her passion for this film really comes through in her character, who's like this broken mess, but God still uses her to accomplish a miracle in the life of a desperate single father whose daughter is in need of a liver transplant. True story, by the way. Now, the one thing I love about you, Andy, is that your movies are not preachy. I would put this somewhere like... you got Blindside at one end, and you've got War Room at the other. You guys are ahead of Blindside on the faith, but way under War Room, you know? But it's done in a way that's like accessible and not off-putting, and it's not heavy-handed.
I think it preaches as good as any of the films that we've done.
Because I know your heart is not to water down the gospel.
No. Our heart is to be strategic. This one was really about trying to understand this everyman kind of blue-collar guy that had a relationship with God but was just burnt out.
Yep.
And he felt like he had lost faith in the church and lost faith in God really seeing him and being there for him. So it's kind of that skeptic that's outside the church walls that we want to reach.
Well, you do a great job of that, and it reached into my chest and punched me in the heart in the first 3 minutes. It's a great movie, and it will be in theaters February 23rd, and you can actually get tickets now at ordinaryangels.movie.
Growing up in poverty has never been easy for children, but with the added challenges of the pandemic, conflict, and natural disasters, families around the world are facing an unprecedented food crisis. Unfortunately, those who are already hungry are now even more desperate. But by sponsoring a child through Compassion, you can help provide life-sustaining essentials such as food and clean water. And with your compassionate support, that child can not only survive, but also flourish. You can find out how and choose a child to sponsor when you click on the Compassion banner at wayfm.com.